Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 5. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. In chapter 3, the apostle has been encouraging Timothy to press on despite the difficulties of the days in which he was living, and he warned of perilous times that were yet to come. He speaks in verse 5 in these terms, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." We know God will bless the reading of his word to us. Last Sunday morning, as we continued with our little series, Texts for Troubled Times, we were looking at some verses in Hebrews chapter 4 where we noted our all-sufficient Savior. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that we have a great high priest today who has everything that we need. There is, of course, his identification with us. The writer says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We have a man of the glory who not only represents us before his Father's throne, but he identifies himself with us in every circumstance of life. He has saved us, he can sustain us, he sympathizes with us, because when we suffer, he suffers. When we shed our tears, he feels those tears. There is, of course, his intercession for us. His ministry on earth might be finished, but the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. There are times when we're so far down and so discouraged that we just don't even feel that we can pray. And it's good to know that the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory today is praying for us. And that's encouraging, because he knows the dangers, he knows the difficulties that we face. But it's not all left to him. There is his invitation to us. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." Remember this today, whatever the circumstances that you find yourself in. They may be dark, they may be difficult. You may not know how on earth you're ever going to see through this particular period of your life. But just remember today that the Lord Jesus Christ is only a prayer away. Today we come to these verses, and I want you to think about them in terms of a man coming to the end of his life, a mighty man of God, a great servant of the Lord, and he's in a state of despair. You and I know that the Apostle Paul was a great preacher. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel that God had entrusted into his care, and he reminds us of that time and time again as he defends himself in the face of opposition. He was a great preacher who stood boldly for the truth of God's word. He was a faithful servant. There was no task too great for him, no task too small for him to attempt for his God. He was a very effective church planter. We read in the scriptures of so many churches that were not only formed but flourishing under the pastoral care of the Apostle Paul. He was one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. His missionary journeys are clearly recorded for us, and when we read them, we see just the kind of man that Paul was in his own relationship with God. Yet it has to be said, like all the other great men and women of God that we read of in the Bible, that this man's life was not without difficulties. This man's life at times was most discouraging. And perhaps nowhere is that better seen than here in these closing verses, where he relates to young Timothy how he really felt as he sits in this prison cell and he is awaiting martyrdom. Here's what he says. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." He's coming to the end of his journey. His ministry is almost complete. He has already said, as we have read today earlier to Timothy, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." Here's a man useful to God, used of God, and he's coming to the end of his journey. He's awaiting martyrdom, and he's all alone. I want you to see two simple things this morning that I hope will encourage you in your own walk with God, whatever the circumstances you find yourself in today. I note, first of all, his difficult circumstances. He's writing to his young son, Timothy. Timothy is, of course, his son in the faith, a young man with whom he has developed a very strong bond. He's encouraging him and exhorting him with a most solemn charge to remain faithful in the ministry that God has called him to. Because Paul himself takes his mind back to an experience in his own life, an experience where he found the going tough and it caused him great distress. He says here, "A man called Alexander the coppersmith, he had given Paul a very hard time." This man Alexander had been opposed to the gospel, and he had withstood Paul right to his face. Now that literally means that Alexander stood against Paul, and he tried by every means to hinder Paul and the work of the gospel. And Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, be on your guard, because Alexander and people like him are going to try to curtail your activities in the gospel." Let me say this just in passing this morning. It seems to me today that there are many of God's people who have no real interest in the gospel. But if you and I have no interest in the gospel, you can be sure that the devil has. And you can be absolutely sure that others have. And they will do everything they can to hinder those who seek to bring the claims of Christ to bear upon their lives. They will use every means at their disposal to hinder the gospel from going forth. There are Alexanders all over the place today. And they're doing everything they can to defeat God's purpose and to discourage God's servant. But you stand firm and continue to gossip the gospel, and God will bless you for it. Paul had been discouraged by this man Alexander, and as a result of that discouragement, God had to come alongside Paul and he had to minister to him in his own soul. Look at the situation he faced. He says at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. The commentators are greatly divided about what Paul means about his defense of the faith. But there's one thing absolutely sure. Paul is looking back on an experience in his own life when he had been asked to plow a lonely furrow. He had to stand alone, and when the chips were down and when the difficulties came, Paul had no support from anyone. He says at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. And yet there's no bitterness in Paul's part. For he turns and he says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul was not the only servant of God who found himself like that. If you take your mind away back to the very first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, you'll come and you'll meet a woman by the name of Hagar. She was Sarah's maid, and when her mistress became despised in her eyes, she fled from the presence of her mistress. She found herself a way out. It's a horrible place when you find yourself all alone. And then I read of God's servant David. Remember, he was a man after God's own heart. Remember that he's the man who we refer to as Israel's greatest king. And here's a man who finds himself away from his kingdom, away from his family, one of whom, Absalom, had turned his back upon his own father. He's out, he's living in caves, he's being hunted like an animal. And a man who had befriended so many didn't have a friend in the world. And he cries out in Psalm 142, he says, no man careth for my soul. No man careth for my soul. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew records for us when Jesus was in the garden and going through great agony of soul. The enemy come and they approach him with sticks and stones. He's being arrested. And then Matthew puts in these solemn words. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And he's led away, and even worse is to come. Because you know the story, how that they take the Lord Jesus Christ, and after being pushed from pillar to post, he's taken, he's beaten, he's scourged, and then he's put on that old rugged cross, and on the cross, as he bears away the sin of the world, listen to him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? His disciples forsake him and flee. Peter denies him three times, goes out and cries. And now he's separated from his Father in heaven for the very first time from eternity past. And he dies on that old rugged cross alone. Friends, that's not a nice place to be, but that's where Paul is now. At the end of life. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe your circumstances are such that right now you feel you're plowing a lonely furrow. Maybe for you the way ahead has never looked so dark and difficult as it seems right now.
Maybe your heart's so filled with pain that you even despair of life. You've nowhere to turn to. You've nowhere to run and hide. There's no one who understands you. There's nobody now about you when you need them the most.
Why these things can have such a good impact upon us. They can cause our faith to waver. They can cause us to doubt God. They can cause us to blame God. They can cause us to blame everybody else. And it might be this morning as you sit here, and while others rejoice in the goodness of God, and while they lift their hearts in worship and in praise, you're singing, but you're not singing from your heart, because your heart is heavy. Because today you're down and you're discouraged, and you're saying today, where's God when I need him the most? You know where he is? He's right in that place where you are. Feeling for you as you feel. Because there's nobody understands you today like God does. And there's nobody will ever care for you like God can. It just doesn't seem like that right now. But I just want to encourage you by saying that you may feel forsaken. As far as God's concerned, you are not forgotten. The situation he faced. Look at the strength he found. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, what a word this is. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And strengthened me. Dean Moffat puts it like this in a new translation of the New Testament. He says, but the Lord supported me and gave me the strength I needed. Isn't that lovely? But the Lord supported me and gave me the strength I needed. That had been Paul's experience. All men forsook him, the Lord stood by him. All men had turned their backs on him, but God came and encouraged him. He was the Lord's servant, doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way, and God would not let him down. And whatever you're facing today, I want to say this. God will not let you down. And you have his word on that. Never leave us nor forsake us. Others may do so. Families can do so. Friends can do so. Pastors can do so. But I'm saying today that God will always be there. Always. He'll be our strength and our stay. He'll give us the help and the grace that we need. And it doesn't matter the experience that he calls us to pass through at any particular time. I love the words of the psalmist who says this in Psalm 40. He says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Stories told of a man who came home from work one evening. He was incredibly quiet, which wasn't true to his nature. The mother and the two children looked at him as he sat down, dropped his briefcase on the floor, sat at the fire, put his head in his hands, and wept his heart out. He looked at his wife and his daughter and young son, and he just couldn't stop crying. And his wife went over to him and asked him, what on earth's wrong? And trying to hold back the tears, he said, the business has just collapsed around us. And he took her by the hand and he looked her in the eyes and he said, I don't have any business left. We have no money. We have no future. We have no friends. I have absolutely nothing left. His wife took him in her arms and she hugged him and she said to him, but you still have me
And his little daughter came over and cuddled his knee and put her arms around him, and she said, "And Daddy, don't you ever forget that you still have got me." The little boy came across and climbed onto the other knee, kissed him in the cheek, and he says, "But Daddy, you still have got me." And then he looked at his dad and he said, "And don't ever forget, Dad, we have still got God. We have still got God." Do you know the truth, folks? We could lose our business today or tomorrow and it could be gone in a shot. We could lose our health today and our friends, our farms, our partners, our parents, and even our children. We could lose everything today that we hold dear to our hearts. It can happen. But we still have God. A Father who knows us. A Father who cares for us. A Father who always stands by us. A Father who never disappoints us. Christian and I were coming across this morning talking about a number of things. She didn't know what I was on today, for she doesn't like it preached to her four times in the 1 week. But as we were talking, coming across, she simply said to me, she says, "John, it only takes a moment," she says, "to turn your whole life around." And so it does. So it does. And isn't it great to know that if that moment comes, and it may, that we can sit down in the depth of despair and look heavenward and say, "I'm still yours. And you're still mine." Because if we have God, we have everything. The hymn writer says, "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go." His difficult circumstances. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. His delightful consolation. Very quickly, just mention this in passing. No doubt God ministered to Paul in a very marvelous way, because look at what he says in verse 17 and 18. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Here's a man out of the depth of his own experience, and he's seeking to encourage Timothy, and through the word of God today, God's seeking to encourage us. Look at three simple things in passing. First of all, he had a great presence. Not only had God been with him in despair, God would continue to be with him no matter what he had to face. Because God simply does not let his children down. Whatever they're facing, wherever they are, God will always be there for them. Think of Moses, another great servant of God, facing continual criticism from his own people, always at the power of Pharaoh and the Egyptian in his mind, and God says to him, "Certainly I will be with you." Think of Joshua facing the great task of taking on the role from Moses, and God says to him, "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you, saith the Lord." What examples! But if you and I don't grasp the truth, it's meaningless. Wherever we go, whatever we face, God is right there with us. John Hannington was a missionary. He served the Lord in Africa at the end of the 19th century. And against the advice of family and friends, he went to Uganda where the two previous missionaries had been murdered and where 32 young converts had been burned to death. Asked if he was not afraid to go, Huntington simply said this, "God has sent me. And if God has sent me, I know God will be with me." God was. And although he had a short missionary service, multitudes were blessed under his ministry until he too lost his life for the sake of the gospel. Beloved, none of us know what tomorrow might bring. None of us know even what news might be brought to our homes this very day, but there's one thing sure, whatever we have to face, God will be with us. He had a great presence, he had a great promise. "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion," Paul says, "and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me." His life had many difficulties and dangers, but through them all, God had been with him. And now he's in a prison cell and he's facing death, and God is still with him. God is still with him. And God would be with him right to the very end until he closes his eyes in death. Because that's the way it is. This is the same man who said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He's in a prison cell. He's going to be martyred. One of these moments, he could lose his life. And you know what he says? He says, "I don't care," because he says, "I know God can keep me. I know God can keep me." He had a great presence, he had a great promise, and he had a great prospect. Not only would Paul be finally delivered in death, but he says this, "The Lord will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." Do you see, when Paul's earthly tabernacle would be destroyed, and that cell door would close, and those who would take his life would come, it mattered not, for he was entering into future glory. Death had to be faced. It didn't have to be feared. Death would not be the end for him, just the beginning of something more wonderful he had ever experienced. And he believed that, because that's why he had said to the Philippian Christians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is the end." No, no. To die is gain. Gain. What a hope the child of God has in Christ today. Some of you are passing through difficult times. Some of you are watching loved ones pass through difficult times. And the truth is, for some of you, you don't know whether they're going to be spared or not. But you do know this, they're in Christ, and if God doesn't spare them just now, he'll just take them safely home. He'll take them safely home. That's what they put their hope in the moment they trusted Christ as their Savior, and this just might be the time. And for Paul, and like Paul, it's only a matter of closing their eyes in death and opening up their eyes in heaven and being with him never to be parted again. That's the hope of every Christian. The sad thing is, it's not the hope of some of you here today, because you're not saved. You're sitting here as you do every Lord's Day. My, it's great to see you. But you're living without Christ, and there's a possibility you're going to die without hope. And while others are going on to the glory, to be with Christ for the whole of eternity, you're in danger of slipping out into a lost eternity, because you just won't come as a sinner to the cross at Calvary and trust the one who died for your sins. You just will not accept your state. you will not be convinced of your need through the gospel. And you're waiting and you're waiting and waiting because you have plenty of time. But time for you is uncertain too. And one of these days you're going to close your eyes in death and go out into eternity. The question is, eternity where? You can be saved today if you trust Christ and have this blessed hope that every child of God has, that not only will the Lord be with us, but one day he'll bring us safely home. If today you're discouraged, the way is dark, difficult, and more than you're able to bear, trust in the Lord. And don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, today we know with absolute certainty that you know the way that we take. For some individuals and some families this morning, that way just now seems dark and difficult. For some who have heard bad news, for some, our Father, who are facing family circumstances that others know nothing about, we bless you that you know all about them. And you know all about that. And we just lovingly commend to you today those who need your encouragement and our prayers. And remind them, our Father, whatever they face today, tomorrow, or indeed all their tomorrows, that we all have a wonderful Savior and a so great salvation. And we have a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. So bless them and bless us and your word to each one of us, and encourage us on our way home to heaven. For Jesus' sake, Amen.